We're going to talk about, and my message title is called, You Can Hear From God. Did you know that it's in the DNA of every believer to hear the voice of God? Every single one in this room that calls Jesus their Lord has been given the ability, the nature of a Christian is to hear their shepherd, to hear the voice of God. We have made it too complicated. We've made it too weird. We've made it too whatever. But the truth of the matter is, everyone in this room, if you have asked Jesus into your heart, what has been built into you is the nature to hear God's voice. And when you have intimacy with God, we have to be careful because sometimes feelings and good songs actually get in the way of hearing the voice of God. We heard from our young lady with Elijah. He wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the earthquake. He was in the timber, the still small voice of God. And when God begins to move in your life, his voice gets louder and louder, and then sometimes softer and softer. And it just depends on where you are with him. Amen? And so I just want to talk to you about hearing the voice of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and Paul talks about this, and it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Did you catch that? Here's the point. The Spirit of God was given to you to see beyond what any naked eye could ever see. Did you know that God has things for you that he hasn't even revealed to you yet? Eye has not seen. Think about that. Ear has not heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has for those who love him. But it says, but he reveals it to us through his Spirit. Did you catch that? Do you know how many thoughts God thinks towards us? Have you ever stopped and wondered how God views us? The Bible says in Psalm 139, it says, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God? How great are the sum of them? If I should count them, they would be in more number than the sand. When I am awake, I'm still with you. Have you ever been to the beach? Just pick up a handful of sand and start counting. God says his thoughts towards you, his thoughts towards his children are greater than all the sand in the world. Just take a moment to take that in. Have you ever wondered how many thoughts God thinks to you? And do you know what his thoughts are? For your benefit. God is thinking about you way more than you've ever thought about him. God has a plan and thought. I mean, we wonder if God cares. We go, oh, I don't know if God's listening. I don't know if God cares. I don't know if God's hearing me. And we come to the altar and it feels dry and it feels empty. But the scripture says he's been thinking thoughts about you that you can't even count how many he's thought about you. Isn't that just amazing to think about? I don't know about you, but that blows my head to think, especially when you're not living like you should. When maybe you didn't pray, or you didn't seek God, or you didn't do all the right steps. God doesn't change his thoughts. He says his thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are his ways your ways. They're higher than ours. Remember what he told the captive Israel in Jeremiah. This is what he says to him in Jeremiah 29. We know this very well. We all like to quote this. But the truth is they're in captivity and they're under bondage. And he says this, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me, and you search for me with all of your heart. Well, what are his thoughts towards us? You know, we have this idea that God's mad all the time. But the truth of the matter is, even when he's disciplining Israel, he's thinking about their future and their hope. God doesn't see your family as just broken. He sees your family as something that's going to become great for him. How many of you have wayward kids that you just think, oh no, nothing's ever good gonna happen? God says, you can't think like that because that's not how I think about your kid like that. You know, we partner with the liar so much in our life because we just believe that God is not good, that God is not good enough. You know, the world doesn't think God's good because they see a church that doesn't believe that God is good. But when you believe that God is good, when you understand that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has for those who love him, you begin to start wondering, God, what are you thinking about right now? Intimacy with Jesus brings you into the place where you actually begin to see what he thinks about you. He begins to reveal to you how he views life, how he views America, how he views the church, how he views these things, because he says you can't even dream about or fathom right now the mystery of what I want to do. Amen? How many of you are dreamers? Right? And he says, there's dreams you haven't even had yet. Have you think about that? I mean, have you stopped and said there's things that you haven't even been drawn out yet from the Lord. The Lord hasn't even given you some things that he's been thinking about. That, and he says, you haven't even thought about it in your head or your heart or your mind. And it just blows me away to think that God thinks like that. Doesn't it just grab a hold of you? I mean, I never thought in a million years I'd be in Fond du Lac. I mean, never in a million years I would be in the Midwest. I was in Seattle in a very amazing church with amazing people, 21 years. It blew me away when God called me. But here's one thing I know about the Lord. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of Anthony the things that God has for him. But God has revealed them through his Spirit. You see, here's the key. For those who love him, God reveals through the Spirit. Most of us don't realize this. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says this. Now we've not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given by God. Here's the catch. Most of us are trying in the natural to grab a hold of the thing that can only be revealed through the Spirit. We're trying to understand what God has for us because it doesn't make sense. It's not rational. It's not logical. It doesn't add up. In God's economy, it makes no sense that I'm supposed to give everything away so that I could receive something. It makes no sense that I'm going to sell everything to buy a field. The natural man doesn't understand the things of God. It's revealed to us by the Spirit. When people say to me, why are you so Spirit-filled and praying in the Spirit and seeking God like that? How come you're so caught up to, can't we just have the Word and just preach about Jesus? And I said, well, I'm going to know who Jesus is when the Holy Spirit reveals to me through the Word who Jesus is. We don't need to keep walking in the flesh and expect to see what God wants to give us. Does that make sense? You know, one of the greatest benefits of being born again is we're born of the Spirit. This is what he tells Nicodemus. He is a Pharisee, and he knows the law. He knows about the Messiah. He has an understanding, and he's a religious man. But this is what Jesus says. He comes in the cover of night because he's ashamed to say, in the natural, I don't understand this. In the natural, you make no sense to me, Jesus. And the Bible says in John 3, verses 3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, there's the key right there. You want to see the kingdom. You want to see the king. You can't see it until you're born again. We want to know the answer before we take the step. The way it works in the kingdom is you step by faith and then the revelation comes. We have become like the world. Show me and then I'll believe him. Show me his hands. Show me his feet. Let me see, then I'll believe. And Jesus says, blessed are those who believe without seeing me. You see, there comes a point, church, where we have to quit trying to live like the world and expect to see the things God has for us. Because the world cannot see God. Born of the Spirit is what the Bible says. It goes on. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born? So many of us, we're asking God those kinds of questions. We're saying, God, where I'm at in the Lord right now makes no sense to me. And he says, because you're looking with your natural eye what the Spirit of God will reveal to you. And even Nicodemus, who had all the scriptures memorized, the Torah memorized, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He had it down, but he could not see because the natural man cannot see the things of the Spirit. The reason why it's so important that we wait and we soak and we open ourselves up to God is because we have to get ourselves in a position that we can begin to see through the Spirit what God has been trying to reveal to us that our natural eye have never been able to see. Does that make sense? See, the Bible goes on and said, Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you're born of, one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see or he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. You can't see the kingdom. You can't enter the kingdom unless you're born of the Spirit. And we wonder why we look for God and we don't see him. God reveals through the Spirit what he wants to do. Does that make sense? Are you guys following with me today? And isn't it interesting? The Bible says the wind blows wherever it pleases, and no man knows from where it goes or from where it comes. So is everyone born of the Spirit of God. You know, if I'm walking in step with Jesus, and I'm hearing his voice and walking and following him and being open to, because the Bible said we're to stay in step with the Spirit. We're to be led by the Spirit. All of these things is Spirit filled. When I begin to do that, you know what happened? The wind blows where it pleases. He takes me where he needs me to go to do the things he needs me to do. You ever wonder, how did Jesus follow his Father? Have you ever stopped and he said, I only do what I see my Father do, right? We've heard that 100 times. I know in this church for sure. And I only say what I hear my Father say. Why is that? Because as he's learned to be led to the Spirit, the Bible says the wind blows where it pleases. And no man knows from where it comes or from where it goes. So is everyone born of the Spirit of God. God has ordained for us a nature to hear his voice, to see his face, to follow him and walk in the Spirit of God. To be led by the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? Here's the problem is that the carnal man or the natural man cannot even receive the Spirit of God. In fact, I want to, before I get there, I'm jumping ahead. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. But it also says, and the voice of the stranger, they'll not follow. Did you know that you were made to hear God's voice? Some of you say, man, I don't know if I've ever heard God. I don't know if God speaks. And I have heard him twice audibly in my whole life, but I have heard him 4 or 5 times today as he's nudged me when I leaned in and he's spoken to me about something. And I've learned to listen to the timbre of his voice. If you were to get up there, our young pianist, she's just amazing. And I say, play the key of C. She could get up there and play the key of C, and she would know the timbre of the key of C because she has trained her ear to hear the key of C. So many of us have become novices in hearing the voice of God because we believe that only pastors can hear the voice of God, or only leaders can hear the voice of God, but did you know that you were made to hear his voice? He's been wanting, and many times if you were actually stopped long enough, you would find out he's actually been speaking to you. And here's the cool thing about the Lord is he doesn't have to speak just my language. He speaks your language. He knows exactly how to talk to you. Does that make sense? You know, it's been given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Luke chapter 8, this is what Jesus says. It says to his disciples, they were talking about the sower and they didn't understand. The sower went out to sow the seed. So they pull him aside and say, explain this stuff to us. And he says this is his disciples. He says to them, and he said, to you, it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. For us not to know what God has, it's because we either are afraid to hear, don't want to hear, or we struggle with the idea that God would actually talk to me, right? But it's been given to you and I to know the mysteries of God. You know, it's interesting. God doesn't hide things from us. He hides things for us. The secrets of the Lord are with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. God doesn't hide things from me. He hides things for me because he wants me to find him in that field. He wants me to see he's the pearl of great price. He wants me to set everything else aside and actually discover the mystery of who he is and how far, how wide, how vast he is. Amen? As I've gotten older, when I first started as a Christian, I would pray for hours and fast and pray. And, you know, it took me hours to close the door. The Bible says, you know, when you go into your closet and shut the door, how many have a hard time shutting the door? I mean, and I go in there, and I remember in Bible college, I'm in there, and I'm thinking about Bonnie Bryant, I'm thinking about this girl and that thing and all, and I'm going, and I'm supposed to be seeking God, you know, and I'm in there, and it takes me hours to get to the place where the door's shut. But now I go to my, I close the door, and I just go, Jesus, he's right there, because I've learned to hear his voice through practicing his presence. Drawing near to him. There's many times I walk into the sanctuary because the sanctuary is my prayer closet. I go every morning and I walk in, I raise my hands. Oh, Jesus. For some of us, we've never learned to shut the door. We've never learned to walk in such a way. It gets easier to hear the voice of God. Did you know that? Not harder. It gets easier because his whole thing is come to me, come to me, come to me. And the more I learn to come, the more I learn to listen, the more I learn to hear, the more I learn to turn off the natural man, I begin to hear what the Spirit says to the church. Amen? You hear what I'm trying to say? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:7, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they not known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Paul indicates that if they would have really knew who Jesus was, they would have never put him on the cross. They knew all about religion. They knew how to do church. They knew how to sing songs. They knew how to tithe. But they didn't know how to hear from him. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul tells us the reason why. He says, these things we speak not in words with man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual, because the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. If you draw near to God and you're walking in the Spirit, God will begin to speak to you. It will become clear and clear and clear. But the natural man can't hear the things of God. Because they're only spiritually discerned. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's like this. I heard this analogy, and I'm going to use mine because mine's better. When I was in Kodiak, Alaska, which is way in Alaska, it's on an island. We didn't have a lot of radio. We had a couple radios. We didn't have really even a radio station. Armed Forces radio. And so I bought a little Technics receiver, and I got copper wire, and I went way up a tree, and I ran a big antenna up there because I wanted to hear the latest AM radio. And I would tune the dial, and every night I'd have my little headphones on, and my parents didn't know, and I would be tuning, and I would be looking for the right frequency for the station. And then I'd find there was a rock and roll station in San Francisco that I could get. And so, but it was at nighttime, the frequency was just right, and there it was, the rock and roll station. I could get the rock and roll station, so I'm listening, and I'm a young guy, and I'm doing that. But if I wanted to get FM radio, it wouldn't matter what I did. I could go up and down that dial, but I will never get FM radio because it is on a different frequency. And you see, many of us, because we live so much in our natural man, we go up and down the dial trying to hear from God. And the problem is he's on FM, he's not on AM, or vice versa, whatever, right? And so many of us, we don't understand. The carnal man can prophesy and pray and do all kinds of stuff, and you can make all kinds of declarations, and you can memorize scripture, and you can do it all, but you will not hear until you come into line with the Spirit of God. Because that's the frequency that God speaks on. The Holy Spirit is the frequency God speaks on. You see, we don't need any more well-trained carnal men in ministry. We don't need any more well-trained people who have all the right answers and have not heard his voice. Because the natural man can't hear. You hear what I'm trying to say? Romans says it this way, Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. Catch this though. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So let's do a litmus test today. You're here. Are you at peace? And do you feel life? Because the mind of the Spirit produces life and peace. That should tell you where you and I are, what frequency we've been listening to. I have discovered when I begin to live in fear, when I begin to get worried, when I begin to get scared, it's simply because I've stepped out of the Spirit. Because when I step into the Spirit, the fruit of that Spirit is life and peace. Actually, it's joy and righteousness as well. But do you hear what I'm saying? And so as Christians, we can give you a lot of religion, but I can't give you life and peace. Only God can give you life and peace, and that comes through the Spirit. Because the carnal mind is enmity to God. It's contrary to God. It can't agree with God. Have you ever heard God say something to you that you just can't get your head around? Like coming to Fond du Lac. It's like, I couldn't get my head around that. But here's the story of it. I was with your pastor a year ago. Well, it's been a year and a half ago because we moved a year ago next week. We actually were at this conference last year and drove over to Fond du Lac from here and started literally from this conference last year. And I remember a year ago in September, I came over and did your men's retreat. It was fantastic. We had a great time. And Tom and I was asked to come and talk to the elders of Fond du Lac. So Pastor Tom and I spoke here in the morning. We got in the car later in the afternoon. We drove to Fond du Lac an hour away. I only knew Pastor David Ogren Jr. I met him twice. I didn't know anybody else. None of the guys. Pastor Tom and I walk into this elders meeting and a spirit of prophecy comes on us. And we begin to give words of encouragement. And I thought, this is awesome. And I wasn't looking for the job, had no interest in the job, didn't want the job, not a big, you know, I was told that this is the flyover state, so, you know, now I've discovered this is not, this, in fact, let them fly over, trust me, just let them, we like this place, you just fly over, okay? So Tom and I get out, it's dark, and he turns to me in his Tom-esque speech, and he says this, "Yo, dude, they're going to ask you to come. What are you going to do?" And I said, "Tom, I'm not interested." And so we're driving back. Car's quiet, and we're just driving back. It's dark. And then God speaks to me. Acts chapter 8. And he shows me this picture of Philip in Samaria at this revival where people are getting healed and saved and great things are happening, which is what was happening over at Hope at the time. And Philip hears God's voice and says, "I want you to go to a deserted place and wait for my instructions." And this Ethiopian eunuch comes by. He's the treasurer of Candace, the queen. He's one of the top officials of Ethiopia. And Philip, by the Holy Spirit, says it joined himself to the chariot. And the Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah 53, the suffering Savior. And Philip says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And as God is my witness, the voice of God speaks to me. He says, "How can I unless somebody shows me?" And I turned to Tom and I told him and I said, "Oh, how's this going to work?" It made no sense. Because see, the natural man begins to think, will my wife agree? Will this thing happen? Will all these things get put together? How is this all going to work? How do I tell my wife? What do I do? You know, you start processing because the natural man can't understand what the Spirit is trying to do. And I would suggest that many of us in this room, God has spoken to us and we didn't know what to do with it. And we began to naturally work out what began in the Spirit. Kind of like Galatians 3, who bewitched you? Who began in the Spirit is now trying to work out your stuff in the flesh. And so many of us, it's not that God hasn't spoken to us before. It's that it scared us and made no sense to us and confused us. And we couldn't in the natural wrestle and work out what God was doing because whatever God gives you is impossible for you. God has to do it through His Spirit. And I would suggest that what begins in the Spirit here needs to end in the Spirit here. So there's an example in 2 Corinthians. I want to give it to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, it says this. And by the way, this is the context is that Paul is talking about the ministry of condemnation that came through Moses, and how even when the law of Moses, when he went up and he came back and there was a veil over him because they couldn't look at his face. And he says, even the ministry of condemnation has glory. And he says, how much more would the ministry of the Spirit have glory? And so that's the context of it. And he says, but even to this day, so he's talking about Israel today, but even to this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You would think that God would take the veil away for you to turn to the Lord. But in the kingdom, it works like this. You draw near to God, He takes the veil away. God isn't interested in you knowing ahead of time. He's interested in you drawing near to Him, which is the most important piece of your life, is to draw near. And it's in the drawing near that the veil gets taken away. And then you see who He says He is. Tonight, I'm going to ask many of you to take a step of faith and just draw near to Him without any expectation that you're going to figure it all out, and let Him reveal to you. Isn't it interesting? You know, we have this backwards, don't we? We have a tendency to think that we have to have the answer first and then we can draw near to God. But the truth is, even Israel, the Bible says, when they come to Him, the veil's lifted. Can you just and I acknowledge that we have to actually draw near to Him when we don't know? In fact, the most important thing that you can do is, if you don't know, get closer. Because He's not hiding it from you. He's hiding it for you. Because it's in Him, in the mystery of who He is, that you discover there's something more there that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man. The things that God has for those who love Him. But He reveals them through His Spirit. Does that make sense? I'm trying to just land this plane hard today. I mean, I want it to be one of those, I remembered that landing, right? Praise the Lord. It's just like Brett, you know, I was going to remember that landing. There was a little turbulence coming in there, right? Isn't it interesting? We see this when God, do you remember a story in Exodus chapter 3? Where Moses is taking care of Jethro's, his father-in-law's sheep, and he's at the backside of the desert, Mount Hor, and all of a sudden he sees this bush that's burning, right? You've seen the burning bush, you've heard, has anybody been a Christian long enough to know about the burning bush, right? Right, the burning bush experience. Well, it's interesting, he says, I'm going to draw near to this one, this sight here that I see. It makes no sense to him how the bush is not being burned up, but it was enough of a wonder that it got his attention. Can I suggest to you that what we need to see happen, you know, when we say, how come encounters are so important in church? Because there's people here that might just actually go, what happened? And the Bible says, when the Lord saw him turn aside to look, then the Lord spoke out of the bush. It was after He took time to say, what is this craziness? That God goes, I've got my hand on you. And you know the calling you had 40 years ago? Sunshine, I didn't forget. It's time for you to come up. It's time for you to step up, right? But it was after Moses turned aside to look, then God spoke. We're waiting for God to speak instead of us turning aside to look and see what He's doing. Do you look to see what God is doing? One of the great changes of my life in the last years has been I'm constantly looking to see what God is doing. I didn't used to be that way. I wanted God to bless me. I wanted God to provide for me. I wanted God to lead me. I wanted a big church. I wanted God to have all these things. And I missed everything God wanted to do because God is in me coming alongside him so he can show me things I'd never see. And so I'm always looking, okay, what are you doing, Lord? There's by the way, God's always doing cool stuff. Have you figured that out? Has anybody lived long enough to know that God does cooler stuff than you'll ever do? And normally he won't do it through you. He'll do it through somebody else that you don't think is good enough for God to do it through. And you'll have to go, why him? And he'll say, because you weren't available. Because you were too busy looking at your stuff and you were too busy naturally minded and carnal minded that you couldn't see what I was doing. This guy was just foolish enough to believe. Have you ever, you know, I always tell the story about Peter in the boat because I'm a fisherman. I mean, you got to throw a fishing story in there somewhere, right? Yeah, commercial fishermen, I don't pull fish. I can't catch them one at a time. I got to catch them by the thousands. Just have to do. It just doesn't make sense to me. Spend all day long, throw money in a pit called a boat and catch one fish. Sorry, guys. It's not working for me, right? But you know the story. The disciples are freaking out in the boat. And here's this ghost called Jesus walking on the water. And Peter did something different than any other disciples did. He took a risk and said, if it's you, Lord, bid me to come. And he took the step. He said, come on, Peter. And Peter may have sank, but I guarantee you God was very pleased because, do you know, the boat was obedience. They were told to go to the other side. Get in that boat and go. So they were all obedient. But Peter was looking for more than obedience. Jesus wasn't in the boat. Jesus was walking on the water and he said, if it's you, Lord, I want to come to you. Jesus is in that place of risk, of stepping out, of not allowing your natural mind to stop you from what he has for your life. Some of you, God is going to ask you to do things that you never thought, even in your older age, he would ever ask you to do. But if you want to walk in the Spirit, watch out. Because he's going to take you out of the natural way you think, and he's going to take you into things you never thought possible. Amen? Isn't God good? How about Ananias? Have you ever stopped? I got a few more minutes, right? Okay, I just want to make sure I'm being sensitive because I want to pray for you. I do. I think God wants to do something. I'm excited about it. So here's the thing. So there's Ananias. Remember, he gets this. God speaks to him and said, there's a guy named Saul. And I want you to go pray for him. So here's the story. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to a street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he's praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your servants in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. Could you imagine the kind of conversation that he's having? Have you ever stopped? You know, we read that and we don't realize this is all happening in a vision. This is a vision he's having, a dream he's having, whatever you want to call. God is speaking to this guy. And in this vision, he's having a conversation with God. And we read this and we think, he's not Paul the Apostle. He's not Peter. He's not one of the 12. He's just a disciple. We don't know. We don't read about him ever again. But here's the thing he had. He was praying and he was seeking God. And God gives him something that made his head spin. He says, you're going to go anoint this guy Saul. And he's going, wait a minute, I know about this guy. He's arguing with God if this is what he's supposed to do, but he does it because he has learned to hear from God. A disciple without any reputation hears from God, and he does it. And it was this disciple, it wasn't the Pastor Anthony at the altar praying for me. It was a disciple that literally was the one that lays hands on Paul, saw his scales fall off his eyes, and he says this to him, tell him all the things that he's going to suffer for my name. He gives them his calling, he brings him into healing, gives him, speaks to him over the calling of God in his life. And it's simply because he's not afraid to hear from God. Have you ever just stopped and said, could God use me like that? Does anybody, did anybody want to be used like that? That's what I wonder. I mean, would you allow God to give you a dream and go to the most ruthless guy in the political sphere of Madison and say to him, God has a plan for you and he's going to change your life? Is there anybody, I like those kind of challenges. It's like, come on, use me, right? I mean, you see, here's the church. The church doesn't think like that because we're so busy living in the natural that we can't believe God wants to actually do that with us. Can we get out of that today? We're in danger of becoming so good at doing these meetings, these intimacy conferences and worship and stuff that it becomes so familiar with us that we can do it with our eyes closed naturally. And the Holy Spirit doesn't get an opportunity to actually take us into awe and wonder. I want God to take me into awe and wonder. I want, you know, one of the best things that happened to me is going to Fond du Lac. You know why? Because when I first started ministry, I had to trust God for everything. And then I spent 21 years at Hope. And it built it up in buildings and money and staff. And the next thing you know, I didn't realize it. I woke up one day and I realized, I'm good at this. And now you're in trouble. Because there's nobody good at this. Only him. And I realized that I could do ministry. And when I went to Fond du Lac, guess what? It was almost like God gave me the innocence of my faith back. Where I had to trust him again. Where I had to grab hold of him and pray again. Where I didn't know anybody. I had to try to create a culture again and move forward again. And I'm here to say, it's been amazing. We've tripled in a year. I mean, it's just been amazing how many people are coming. And it isn't because we're great. It's just simply because God brought me back to that kind of, I just got to just lean on God. I got to trust God. I got to hear from God. I can't just pop, quiz, boom, boom, got all the answers. You hear what I'm trying to say? And I think what happened is God said, can I get you back on the right station? Because it's been a little fuzzy lately. Do you hear what I'm saying? I believe that there's keys to hearing from God. And the first one I believe is that, like I shared today, you got to believe God wants to hear. That God wants to talk to you. God wants to show you.